I am here. Brother Carroll, I absolutely didn't mean to give you a heart attack. So if I found out you had to go to the hospital after this, I'm gonna be hurt by that. So I'm sorry. Sometimes you're talking on the telephone and you're talking about reminiscing a little bit and then talking about coming to speak, and all these kind of things kind of go over in your mind, and all of a sudden things blow out. So I thought maybe it might be at 10:30, and I asked him a question, and he answered back and said, "No, you don't be here at 10:30." And I thought I'd be all right by being here by that time. It's over. I'm here, brother. I'm here. I appreciate the opportunity of being asked to come and be a part and share with you today. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. It's wonderful to be together with God's people. Do you know, I look around today and I get an opportunity to go to a lot of different places. And I find out sometimes churches are not as excited as they ought to be. It seems like they come to church and they're more anxious to get away from church than they were to get here. I want us to think a little bit this morning from Titus chapter 2. If you have your scriptures this morning, I hope you brought it with you. If you have some Titus chapter 2, I want to read verses 13 and 14. We'll share these things together, and I hope this morning it'll be something that will remind us of just who we are as the church. Still hear pages turning, so I'll just wait just another moment. I believe it got back to winter time, didn't it? It's awful nice going around in your shirt sleeves, but I don't think you want to go around in your shirt sleeves today. Verse 13, Titus chapter 2. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that he might redeem us from our iniquity and purify us unto Himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Father, we come into Your house this morning with grateful hearts and an attitude of worship this morning. We've come in and we've listened to the music that You have provided for us, that You have led these people to use their talents to praise and glorify Your name. Father, what a wonderful sound it was just to hear Your people raise their voices in praise and of You through music. Let us go now as we have come and opened Your Word, that we too would praise You and glorify Your name as we talk about what You and share with each other what You have shared with us. Because it is Your Word. It is Your Word that has been there. It is You're the one that inspired it. You're the one that caused people to and led people to write down what it is. We know we can trust it. So, Lord, help us this morning that our hearts would be in tune with what You have said to us, that we might find a little closer walk with You by being here today. Amen. There was a young man just finishing high school and making his plans to go to college, and that day finally came. And that morning, while they were getting their things together, the parents and the son came together, and they had a prayer for their son as he was going off to college. And they would pray for him and ask protection that God would protect him and grant him success in the work and the studies that he was about to endeavor. After that, son went, finished packing, put all of his clothes in the car. And then he came back and asked the father, says, "Dad, is there anything else that you'd like to share with me before I leave to go today?" The father thought for a moment, and then he said, "Yes, son, there's one more thing that I want to remind you of." And putting his hands on his shoulders and looking him straight in the eye, he said, "Son, always, always remember who you are. Always remember who you are." And we're told here in this text that we are peculiar people. Now that does not mean odd. It does not mean funny or silly. Now, I've met a few of those along the way. But that's not what the word means. The word peculiar here means special. He wants to bring us before Him and to purify to Himself a special people. A special people, zealous of good works. It simply means we're to be different from those that are unsaved. If you're here this morning and you are a born-again, blood-washed, saved by grace child of God, the Bible says you are special to Him. When we come there, we are different. You know, and if we're different, we need to remember just who we are. If we leave here today and you go out that door and you don't know that you are special to God, then I have not opened the Word of God the way I should, because God is saying in no uncertain terms, if you are a child of God this morning, you are special to Him. If we're to remember, always remember who we are, who are we? We are God's children. Let's look at what he says in 1 John chapter 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." The moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became a new baby in Christ. A new creation, a new born. We were born into the family of God. You know, isn't it? A new baby. How many of you have had new babies born into your family? Did it excite you? Now folks, you're gonna have to talk back to me a little bit this morning. You know, I get it. I preach better when you talk back to me. But you know, I remember when babies were born in our family. You know what? We'd get in there and the whole family would rush down to the hospital and they'd put their heads up to that window. They wanted to see that new baby. Once it got home, everybody came around. They wanted to hold that new baby. They wanted to, you know, pick on it and peck on it, see if they could get it to smile at them, you know, get it to goo, 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 goo. It didn't matter if they could get it to goo, goo. That was something. But a baby is something special. And I want to tell you, when you were born into the family of God, you were that new baby in the family. Do you realize the moment you were born into the family of God, there was a celebration took place in heaven? All of heaven stopped and celebrated your birth. Yeah. Oh, I want to tell you, I try to tell every young person, that has come to me, and I've been able to lead to the Lord and baptize, maybe in Bible school or wherever it was. I want to tell them and remind them while I've got them there, at the moment that they accept Jesus Christ, I want to tell them that they stopped heaven in order to, and heaven had a party simply because of the decision they made, and now they are a part of the family of God. Oh, I want to tell you, it's special. A baby's special. At newborn, Peter says that the moment we were saved, we became a new babe in Christ. That's special. You know, in Luke 15, it says this, joy will be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 good people that don't need to repent. You're special. But now, since we are a child of God, since we are a child of God, we are very, very special to Him. Now, I know the whole world's special to God. God created everybody. God created every human being. He created everything. And in a sense, everything is special to God. But I want to tell you, once you came into the family of God, you became special in a special way. Not just that I love everybody in a generic way. No, God loves you in a very special way. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God loves you. Now, I think this week we've been reminded of that more than most weeks of our lives because we've seen Billy Graham preach more in the last week than we have in years. And the message that Billy Graham took for all of his life was that God loves you. God loves you. And God wants to save you. If you're here today and you're not a child of God and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you right off the bat, God loves you. And He wants to save you today. He wants to make you that new baby in Christ today. But if you are saved, you're special. If you are saved, He loves you with a special love. Would you do something for me today? Would you just say, I'm special? Well, three of you did. Would you just say, I'm special? I'm special to God, yes. And since we are special, God will hear our prayers. You know, in Psalms 4:3, the Bible says, the Lord has set apart those that are godly for Himself. The Lord will hear when they call on Him. Isn't it a wonderful thing just to be a glorious privilege to pray? Hebrews says, let us go boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in times of need. Do you realize that you can pray anytime? It doesn't matter what time it is. God, you won't never find God asleep. You won't never find God out of town or out of the office. There'll never be a time that you go to Him that He's too busy to talk. You can go to God anytime. He invites you anytime. In fact, He is waiting on you. He is urging you. He's urgently listening for your call. He wants to talk to you because you are His child. And I want to tell you, do you understand, you parents or grandparents, do you understand just what it means? We understand better than the young people do what it means. We want to hear from our children, don't we? We'd like to hear from them call us on the phone once in a while. We want to hear them come by and talk to us. We want to hear what's going on in their lives. We want them to talk about what's exciting to them. We want to know what it's all about. Hey, I want to tell you, God is just that excited about His children, and He wants to hear you, and He's listening for your call anytime that you want to talk. Hey, but I want to tell you, not only can we pray anytime, we can pray anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. It may be you're in your bedroom. It may be laying in the bed or down on your knees beside of the bed. It may be in the den. It may be in your quiet time, wherever that might be. But God is listening. It may be while you're out on the highway driving and you're driving down the road just talking to, if you're praying out there, you be praying with your eyes open. I may be the one you meet. But I want to tell you, some of the sweetest times I've ever had with God is just talking in communion with Him. Is those days I was going somewhere to a hospital or somewhere down the road, and I just began to talk to God and listen to Him talk back to me every once in a while. Hey, I remember those times that I just have to pull off the side of the road. Tears fill my eyes to where I couldn't see. And just sit there and bask in the glory of God's grace for a little while. Because He allowed me to come into His presence and bring what was on my mind to Him. And we can pray about anything. We can pray, you know, Paul says in Philippians, he says, be careful. In other words, don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. But pray about everything with thanksgiving. Let your heart be known. Let your request be known to God. You know, it doesn't make any difference whether it's one of those days that you're on the mountaintop and you just want to praise God for what He's doing in your life. You just want to praise God for the love that He's shown to you and your family. Maybe He's that answer to prayer and you just want to praise God. You're on the mountaintop and hey, God is always there to listen. You can pray about anything. Or it may be, as David talks about in many of his psalms, he's right in the darkness of distress. Don't know which way to turn. Don't know what's going on. Maybe there's a sickness in your life and you don't know what to do. Maybe there's a breakup in the family and you don't know which way to turn. I don't know what it might be, but we all go through times of darkness and distress. And God wants to hear from us. We're just pleading for His help. He will hear. He will hear. Why? Because we're special. We're His children. Hey, say, I'm special to God. I'm special to God. And because we're special to God, He watches over us and guides us and guards our steps. In Psalms 37, see if I can find that right. Yeah. Psalms 37:23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. You know, I'm so glad that God directs us, aren't you? Leads us where He wants us to go. But you know, one of the things that I'm so glad He directs us in our stops too, don't he? God, I've tried to do some things sometimes, wanted to do some things. Somehow God would stop me. I get so upset at deacons sometimes. You know, I have this brilliant idea what we need to do at church. Man, this would just set our church on fire if we'd just do this. And I go to the deacons and we talk about it and they say, Preacher, I'm not so sure about that. Make me aggravated. And then a little later, I just praise my deacons. Because I see where I would have made a big, big mistake if I'd done that. It's kind of like a preacher I heard once. He was giving his testimony and said when he was a young boy, in high school, there was a bunch of boys that wanted to go on an overnight camping trip. And they wanted him to go along, so everything was okay. They came by to pick him up. And his dad kind of walked around and looked around, and he saw some beer in the car. And he saw a gun under the back seat. And he said, looked at his son and said, "You're not going." He said, "Man, are you talking about making me mad? He had already told me I could go. I'd already told my friends I could go. And now he was saying I couldn't go. He was embarrassing me in front of my friends. And I was angry." They went on. I was angry all night, he said. "I just laid in my bed and fussed and got angrier and angrier." The next morning when we got up and turned the radio on, it came over the news that these boys had committed a robbery that night, and all of them were in jail. And I just thank God that I had a dad that would listen to the Holy Spirit of God and stop me from doing things that he knew were wrong. Oh, thank God. We're special. We're special to God. He not only leads us in the right direction, but he stops us from going in the wrong direction. Some of the greatest protections God can do for us is to stop us from certain things. Just remember that he guides us and directs us as his children. Why? Because we're special. We are special to God. We are special to God. Why? Because we're his children. We are his children, and he loves us and wants to direct us. And because we are special, he corrects us when we do wrong. Let's see if we can find. In chapter 12 of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges." Now, scourge, you know what that means? That means he gets out the razor strap. I don't know what your dad used. Mine used a razor strap. "He chastens and scourges everyone whom he receives. If you endure chastening or punishment, God deals with you as a son. For what son is he whom the Father does not chasten? But if you be without chastening, then you are an illegitimate and not a son." What's he saying? He's saying it's you and I as children of his. When we deliberately do wrong, God's going to punish us. I don't know about you, but I've been to God's woodshed a few times. How about you? And I'd rather go to my father's woodshed with all that razor strap or whatever he used. I'd rather go to his woodshed than to go to God's woodshed. One of our problems as Christians today is we see people doing bad things, and everything seems to go okay. They don't seem to have any guilt for what they do. They get in trouble with the law. Everything comes out okay. But it seems if we do something not nearly as bad, God punishes us. Why is that? That's because we're special. You know, I'd get so mad when I was a young boy growing up. We'd be out with the kids in the neighborhood, most of them my cousins. And they'd want to go do something, and I knew it was wrong. Because my dad had taught me it was wrong to do that. But see, their dads didn't care. Their parents didn't care what about that. That wasn't too bad for them. I'd go with them and do it anyway. Oh, Manny. I'd get punished, and they wouldn't. I said, "Dad, why? We were doing the same thing. They don't get punished for it, and I do." You know what his comeback was? "I'm not their father." Why do the lost get by? Because their father doesn't care. Their father doesn't care if they ruin their lives. In fact, he'll help them. He'll urge them. He'll encourage them to do things that will destroy their lives. But, you know, I used to go, Dad used to, and I'd do something I wasn't supposed to. He'd go to the closet. I knew what he was going for. He'd going for that little belt he had in there. I said, "Uh-oh." I hate these words. He'd grab me by one arm, and then he'd say, "I'm doing this because I love you." Ever heard that? Yeah, doing this because I love you. And before he got done, I was wishing he didn't love me quite so much. Why do they do that? Why does God punish us when we do wrong? Because we're special. I am special to God. And because we're special, you have the special, glorious opportunity to serve Him. In Matthew 21:28, the Father comes to the Son and He says, "Son, I want you to go out and to work in my vineyard today." If you're a child of God today, every morning when you get up, God the Father comes to you. Whether you hear Him or not, He's there. And He says, "I want you to go work in my vineyard today. I want you to go out into the world." The world is His vineyard, you know. "I want you to go out into the world and I want you to do my work. I want you to work for me today. I want you to tell the world about my love. I want you to tell the world that I love them. I want you to tell the world that I went to the cross for them. I want you to tell the world that I'm waiting with outstretched arms for them to come home. And my forgiveness is waiting on them. They have to know it, and you're the ones that have to be working in my vineyard. Son, I want you to go work in my vineyard today." You ever thought about what a privilege that is? We're not working for some corporation. We're not even working for ourselves. We're working for Almighty God out in His vineyard, doing His work, doing eternal work that only God can evaluate. You know, even the angels can't share in redemption, in the plan of redemption. Oh, how special we are to God. We can be a part of keeping someone out of hell. I don't know what... I read somewhere not long ago that a large percentage of Christians today don't believe that hell, don't believe there is a hell, or if it is, they don't believe it's too bad. I had a young man tell me one time that said he was a Christian. We was talking to him, trying to get him to come back to church. And he said, "I don't need to go to church." I said, "Why? Why do you say that?" He said, "I was saved when I was a little boy. And once saved, always saved. And I don't need to go to church." He said, "Even if I'm not saved, hell's not so bad. I'll just go down there with the rest of my buddies and we'll sit around all day playing cards." I said, "Son, think anything you want to think, but you better pick up this book. Because this book does not describe hell in that way. You cannot even begin to imagine the horrors that will face you if you die in your sin. But God wants you back. God wants to forgive you. God wants to give you eternal life." He just laughed at me. And I went on. Hey, or we can show people the way to heaven. See, that's what God's work is. That's what He called us to do. You know what I like about weddings? I've got a... When you go into wedding counseling, you've got a captive audience. They can't go anywhere. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. And one of the things I always, always talk about is whether or not they know Jesus. And I always point them to Jesus. I've had numerous people that make professions in a marriage counseling session. I could stand here and tell you every one of them was serious, but I can't do that today. Some of them never darkened the church door after the wedding, but some of them did. Some of them made some very committed Christians. All we can do is point people to Jesus. We have the privilege, of working in the Father's kingdom. You know what I like about funerals? I can stand and tell the family about Jesus. And I can tell them heaven or hell is their choice. You know, just to serve Him. Today in our culture, the culture in which we live in, we need Christians that will stand up. We need Christians that will stand up and remember who we are. We're God's children. And we're special. Would you say one more time, "I'm special to God"? Let every Christian in here say that today. "I'm special to God." Amen. That's who we are as God's people. We are special to Him. If you're here today and you have never committed your life to Christ, you don't know. You don't know the joy of serving Him. You don't know the joy of being able to go to Him anytime with any problem. You don't know the joy of Him guiding your life and protecting you from going in the wrong direction when we talk to Him. He's asking you to come today. He just wants you to come and get, say, I want to know that joy. I want to know that Jesus. Or maybe someone's here today and you're walking and that joy is not there. You don't realize, you've not been realizing just how special you are. And you'd just like to raise your hands and say, "God, I realize I'm special, and I want to commit that life to you." Whatever the need is in your life today, God's opening up the opportunities. We'll be here to share with you and to try to help you along the way. If you don't know Jesus, we especially want you to come. Everybody standing.